When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thanks to Notion for supporting my show. Where do you find that one urgent piece of information quickly and with my sanity intact? Well, try Notion AI for free when you go to notion.com/playretro, all lowercase.
With games like Super Mario Bros. Now in color, you might actually forget where you are.
Time for the bonus round.
Game Boy Color. Get into it.
Get into it. Get into it.
The old guy in the inn. Get into it. Whippersnapper.
That guy's weird. Greetings and good afternoon and welcome to this show called Play Retro. That's right. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I'm... Well, let's just say my legs have yet again gone to sleep due to this sweet little handheld and my desire to get a par on this next Mario course. No one will notice that I have a bright yellow thing in my pocket all day. Battery's dead already. Oh, wow. Well, don't worry. This TV remote won't miss him.
Oh, wow. Interesting. All day. Mm-hmm. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And finally... color for my pocket monsters. Now all I have to do is go to a well-lit area and catch them all. Or I could attach this battery-draining worm light and slide this prescription-grade magnifying glass to intensify my experience of getting beat up on the bus daily. Oh, that reminds me. I need more underwear. These are all wedgied out. I had experiences.
Yeah, you did. We're talking about the Nintendo Game Boy Color that came out now 25 years ago.
25 years ago in November.
That's weird.
We saw the Game Boy Color arrive in the stores in North America.
And I bought a yellow one and I took it with me everywhere I went. And people would borrow it because they wanted to play Mario Golf as well. And I would say.
And that was a very early release. Very good. It's an exclusive. You could only get that for the Game Boy. We could get it, but you can only play it on the Game Boy Color.
That's right. Whoa. That's right. It's also, well, I mean, they had the N64 game, but it was very different. And even though this had the same name, it was a totally different game. We'll talk about that some as well. But get ready, everybody. Today is all about that advancement in the Game Boy that was not the Advance.
It was not the Advance. Not quite yet.
Yeah, we got some years to go before we talk about that, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get going, last night the Game Awards were on, and I watched them. Yeah. We did a co-stream with the Core guys, had a blast, super fun.
I tuned in. It was so good. My game won, Baldur's Gate 3. I got the big award. I was pulling.
Got the big win and only deserved had 30 seconds to say anything on stage, which kind of sucks, but whatever. Yeah. I'm still thinking about batteries. I put a video up today on my YouTube channel, kind of some of the thoughts I had after the event. Because during it, I'm like, yeah, man, bright colors, flashy lights, let's go. We're doing video games and it's, it was all good. But in retrospect, after kind of sleeping on it, there's some problems with that show. And I talk about them. So if you guys want to go see that, it's up on my YouTube channel.
I do. That's Frog Pants, right? That's where you do
it. No, it's Scott Johnson is the name.
Was it Scott Johnson? Okay, yeah. I knew it was one of the two.
I did it way back before I could have taken. Now somebody else has Frog Pants and it pisses me off. Bastards.
Oh, mother of God.
I know. Makes me mad. I'd convert if I could, but I can't. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is during that event, something major happened for retro gamers, or at least if you're interested in remakes of retro games. Sega did a commercial in the middle of this thing. Commercial, but a video, where they showed off brand new versions of Jet Set Radio, Shinobi, Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, Crazy Taxi, and they say more, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Other stuff in the works. And they showed screenshots and video of a bunch of this. And I think my dream of a modern crazy taxi with like a proper campaign is coming to fruition. I think this is happening.
Help. It is happening. I was so stoked because I was yelling at the award show that you guys were watching because I was watching you guys. And I was like, Scott, look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was pretty sure you could see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very excited about the Sonic. I mean, not Sonic, the Sega stuff.
They were playing Sonic in there on the couch. You could hear them, the rings popping and stuff in the stupid commercial. But the when they finally got to the video and screenshots of the game, I about lost my mind because I love all those games just listed. And in particular, the one I'm least likely to play retro right now would be Golden Axe. Mm-hmm. I just don't care.
Right.
But holy shit.
That's one of the ones I'm most excited about. The other ones look like what I would have done if I was remaking these games, like the little blurbs real quick, like the Jet Set Radio looking stuff, the Crazy Taxi stuff, all that little like stuff that that's like creatively I would go, yeah, that makes sense. Let's do that next.
Yeah.
But that Golden Axe stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't like the old Golden Axe at all. I'm not a fan. This new thing,
right?
That looks badass. I'm in.
It looks hot.
Sign me up. Also, when they showed Crazy Taxi, they're not showing a timer.
No.
I think that means they're taking my advice. They're not just remaking the game. They're making a GTA game, basically, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
So I couldn't have gotten more excited about this. We got no release dates. All we know is they're in production. That's all we know.
Now in 2025, we're supposed to see some eeks coming out. So, but, you know, when you say that much, anything can happen between now and then. So, you know, just sit back, relax. Know that Sega has been hiring a bunch of people, apparently, and is working on a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
If you're excited.
Get excited, you guys. Brian, what'd you do? You hooked up your Game Boy to something. What'd you do?
I did hook up my Game Boy. And just to finish that Sonic thread, the Shadow the Hedgehog, I fired that up on a demo disc that I had for the PlayStation 2 while I was doing some testing. And I don't remember him having guns, but, oh, he had guns.
I thought that was Shadow the Hedgehog, not Sonic. Well,
I said Shadow the Hedgehog.
Oh, did you say Shadow? Oh, sorry. I did.
Yeah. In my Twitter, which you corrected, I had said Sonic, and then I had pivoted over. I didn't use enough punctuation. It's almost like I don't care how my grammar looks or my communication.
Well, you do have a format or a platform that won't let you edit, so don't worry about it.
Right. So it's just like, whatever. Fire this off. I'm just excited. So, I didn't remember that at all with the guns. But, hey, look, I finally did hook up. So my friend and all our friends in the community of Voltaire sent us, sent me a GameCube and a GameCube Game Boy player. I've never had one of these. They're super expensive. Not the players themselves. The players are pretty cheap. You can pick up those about $50 or so. It allows you to play your Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance games. What costs you money are these little bitty tiny mini disc that is the Game Boy player. Now, if you want to have if you want to use it, you have to boot up into this thing, unless you do a soft mod or do a Swiss boot or whatever else, replace your optical drive. There's a bunch of different ways to boot into it, but to get the real authentic experience, these things are actually rare. You're gonna look at, you're probably paying $150-$200 for one of these little discs, and that doesn't include the player.
Yeah, some of these on eBay show the player with it, but they're still,
yes,
they're like 180 with time left on the bids.
Yes,
which means I'll probably go for $200-$250.
Yeah, every time I was going to purchase one, it was going to be about $250 if I got the disc and with the player in this, because I want to get the spice, the orange spice, and I wanted to get the player for that. But man, Faldir sent me this, such a lovely gift, and in such perfect condition too. I'm very excited about that. But it allowed me a chance to play a lot of the Game Boy games we were playing this week, which was very exciting for me, and I got a chance to finally play a little Pokemon,
a little pocket monster there. That's fun.
A little pocket monster. Uh-huh. I'm using the DOL-001, which is the one that had the two AV outs, which means you had the high definition kind of side and the not so high def, just the little, what is it? The composite side. Then you had the other side that was a little bit nicer. Anyway, I got to do all of that, and it looked really good. And I captured some video and I put it in our show notes. If you decide when we get to the Pokemon Gold version that you want to do that. Do you know that I've never really sat down and played a Pokemon game? I played Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go doesn't count. It's too different.
I know. I've played that. I mean, I've watched the cartoon, and I played one that was on the Switch not that long ago. Which one? Which color was that? I picked it up.
Switch. Well, they're.
It was a very modern Pokemon.
Right. But there's the Arceus one, which is way different than usual Pokemon.
Yes. It's
a little more real-time fighter sort of thing. Not fighter, action adventure game. Whereas the traditional ones where they usually split them up into two colors or two materials or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those are the more traditional turn-based things. But the Game Boy Advance game you're talking about, Gold and Silver, considered by many to be the bomb, the one to play. So
it was the best selling game. Not to get too far into what we're going to be discussing this week, but it was the best selling game on. I think it was the top game. The Gold and Silver was the top game sold on the Game Boy Color at the time.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Not exclusive either.
Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah,
wouldn't surprise me. But I also got an HDMI adapter with this bad boy. Mm-hmm. I was pretty excited about that. I've got it's a Keiko, I believe. Keiko? No, that would be K-I-A. Anyway, it's a Keiko adapter. You know who that is?
That's Miles O'Brien's wife's name on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Keiko. You're right. Good call. Star Trek Connection. and it allows me to go out of that, the higher end AV side to HDMI. Unfortunately, I'm kind of disappointed because I already have, I have a RetroTINK for, is it 5X? 5X. There's a new one out, but I have the 5X. It only does like 1080p, half K or something like that, half to 2K, or I don't know what it is. Anyway, I have a StarTech. You may know those guys from cables and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it has like a little, it has like this, you know, it has all the RCA adapter inputs and stuff. I paid about $100 for it. Jeez. I paid about $70 for this Keiko that is exclusive to the GameCube. They're pretty much identical. I was kind of disappointed because I thought it was going to give me a much superior experience because I'm coming out of the GameCube on the crappy side with S-Video,
the
cable I got. And it looks better going through that StarTech than the other way.
Yeah, S-Video, remember when that was all anyone cared about? It's all we wanted, S-Video.
Yeah, you get your DVD, you get your S-Video, you get some 480p.
Yeah,
that was the high def. Which I think is all this comes out to anyway, is like 480p. But I thought it was going to upscale. Yeah. It didn't upscale. No. This is 480p.
Yeah, I understand.
Which is, I'm glad because I have a monitor that has the capabilities of going down to 480p. Lots of times, if you get an HDMI out and plug it into a TV, you might not be able to get 480p.
It wants to
720
scale
is usually the minimum.
Yeah, it wants to scale up to 720. That's true.
Yeah, that's right. So,
well, you're caught just between a wet and hard place, something like that. I don't know what that means.
Right.
We're gonna dive right into this topic and explore it more now. So strap in.
Shall we play a game?
Yes, indeed. We're going to do, instead of a game, though, we've decided for funsies that we're going to talk about the 25-year anniversary of the Game Boy Color and some of our favorite games on the platform, and also the platform itself, why it happened, why it's here, why we care, and why, my personal opinion, like, let's do this real quick. Let's rank Game Boys. They had to have the Game Boy name, so DSs don't count. 3DS doesn't count.
Right,
I'm not counting those. Not just handhelds, but devices Nintendo created with the Game Boy branded name. For me,
does that
it goes like
the Game
this.
And Watch, or is that it has to have the Game and
Game
the Boy?
Game Boy, exactly. So here's my list, ready from best to least favorite. But it's not that they're bad. I'm just gonna name them.
Yeah.
Game Boy Advance SP backlit SP.
Yes.
That one is my favorite of all time. No one can ever convince me otherwise.
Right.
The SP models were incredible. Number two, Game Boy Color, like we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then Game Boy Micro. I thought those were cool.
Those are neat. Yeah. I lost all of mine.
I did too.
Micro.
I don't even know where my yellow color is. I don't know where that is.
I wish I did. I don't know. Two Micro.
After that, it gets a little jumbled. I'd probably put the original Advance in there because it was no backlit and it was sideways thing was ugly. I did not like that device. Yeah. And then for me, the OG Game Boy is just at the bottom, not because it wasn't innovative for its time. Not that it doesn't matter. It does. Of course it does. It's massive, but that's part of my problem is it's massive and I don't
want
to hold that thing. But anyway, would you do any different? What's your favorite? What do you like the most with the Game Boy?
I'm with you. Game Boy Advance, the SP. Oh my God. That is still probably one of my most favorite systems that's ever existed. It's a little different form factor, but it's just so solid. And it was just so it was pocket size.
Yeah.
That fit in my pocket.
Yeah, clammed up. You put it in your pocket. You pull it out. Your friends go, "Ooh, what the hell is that?" And then you say, "This is a cool thing you don't have." mean, that's how rad that was. That thing was awesome.
That's right. So I think I'm with you. I think it's the SP, Advanced SP, and then it goes to the Game Boy Color. And the reason why is because the format. I really like those two formats. I'm not a big fan of the Game Boy Advance system. I love the game library. But as it is, if you just go out and buy a, you know, it's the standard, just Advance, no backlight.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan. I don't like the format.
Yeah. I just don't care for it. It's ugly. The purple one annoyed me. I hated everything about that device.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't care for it. But the Game Boy Color, perfect. It's a good size. As a matter of fact, it's one of the reasons why I thought this was worth talking about, because when the Game Boy Color launched, it didn't really stir up much conversation. It wasn't very popular. It was just, you know, meh. But looking back as a retro gamer going, I want some Game Boy action, and I want something that's going to be able to play my Game Boy Colors and my Game Boy games. I want to be able to do all those kind of things. I think this is the way to go, because you can pick up one of these things for like 70, 80, somewhere around $100, maybe at most, to pick up a one of these things now. And why would you get an original Game Boy? That thing's such a chunk. Yeah, why would you get that?
There's a chunk. You're going to burn through batteries. It's black and white only.
Oh, yeah.
It's all.
Well, actually, I remember this incorrectly. So the battery life is longer on the original Game Boy. But there's a trick there. It takes four. Yeah. It only takes two to run the other. So you're burning through it. It lasts longer, but it's burning through twice as many batteries.
Also, didn't the Color use the AAA instead of the AA's?
No, it used AA's.
What am I thinking?
You're still
of?
In AA. Well, you probably had to have some AAA's because of the huge stacking potential that would happen with the Game Boy Color, where you would have, you know, lights, magnifying glasses you would have, that would have lights on those, or you could use a worm light. And those were typically AAA's on the magnifying glass lights.
That's right.
Or if you had some kind of front light.
Nico, remember the Nico brand of lights? Everyone had Nico. That was the thing.
Oh, yeah. The Nico brand. That was the way to go. Yeah. I think I got one of the kind. What was it called? I can't remember what this other brand is. I have it right here. No, I don't.
I think they still make stuff.
Wait a minute. Here it is. What does it say? It says it is translucent and the print is very small and I can't see what it says other than high frequency.
Mm. Well, then that ain't good.
Look at that thing. Even the accessories had to have that translucent purple. This was the best. Everybody loved this.
Gosh,
I believe the Nintendo president at the time was the one who said, that's the one.
Really?
That's the one we love. Well, that's the one that's going to sell the best. And he was right.
He was correct the whole time.
Yeah. He was president for a reason.
Search engines don't like me searching for Nico accessories. It's only giving me Nikon. So let's see if I can force it. Here we go. Yeah, they still make a bunch of stuff. But they're not, you know, obviously their business isn't making backlights for Game Boys anymore.
Yeah, the business fell out from beneath them.
Yeah. But they are doing stuff. So whether you had, you know, a colored one or whatever you had for your Game Boy, for me, that's when the rubber hit the road, is when the Color came out. I love that device.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it, to be honest. I didn't sell it. I didn't give it away. Somebody either took it, or we lost it in a move, or it's buried in a box I forgot about. I don't know what, but I want that damn thing back. I want my original one. It's got the Mario Golf cartridge in it, probably. That or Worms. I had Worms on there.
You had Worms in it.
I played a lot of Worms on my Color. A lot of Worms.
Right. So I got my... I can't... For some reason, I must have taken it to the bedroom. I was playing with the Game Boy Color because I have two copies. Two copies of the Pokemon Gold, thanks to some donations. But here is the... Here's that magnifying...
Gosh. Look at that guy.
Here's the... Get your trash kicked for using this thing. So yeah, you just look down through there.
Yep. Yep. I refused to ever use one because I just couldn't live with myself doing that. I just lived with the tiny screen. It was fine.
Yeah, and plus, I don't know how the quality was on some of the other. I was surprised that Nintendo was like, yeah, y'all can make some third-party accessories. I was kind of surprised at the time, and I continued. Oh, it was a Pelican. This is what this was.
Oh, Pelican,
you can still find these Pelican things on eBay. I bought this brand new and a blister pack and everything. Man, they must have been near the end of life when they started rolling these things out, because you can still just buy them just for nothing. I think I paid like maybe probably $10 brand new in the box. So like it'd been sitting in a box in a warehouse somewhere.
Dude, you can still buy. Amazon's got a listing for the Pelican Quake Pack, red Quake Pack for the N64. They still have that. They have, let's see, a Pelican Pelican Universal AC adapter for the DS, DS Lite, Game Boy Advance, and GBA. You can still buy a lot of their shit.
You can.
Yeah.
Now, I got... This is something that Robin from Texas sent me.
We'll see what you got.
It was what the Game Boy came in. Look at this big thing. It's a giant Game Boy. Whoa. It holds the Game Boy.
I kind of remember that. Kids would take that to school, stuff it full of cartridges.
Speaking of crazy, I stood up too fast and I unplugged my headset, so I can't hear anything saying.
You can't hear what I'm saying right good. Now. Here we go. There you are. I just made fun of you and said you had three nipples and stuff like that. It's fine. Just normal
I got up to get it, and then I stepped on my line, and so now that's how that goes. But yeah, this big giant, my organizer for the Pocket in color. I never had the Pocket. I had the Pocket.
Yeah, Pocket in color. Oh, I did have the Pocket. Pocket was ultra thin, right?
Yeah, yeah. Was that one?
Micro was tiny. Was the Pocket was like metallic. It was like a metal.
Yeah. Which one was that one? I'm trying to remember now.
Game Boy.
I think was it only sold in Japan for a while? So that's what happened with a lot of these things. They would just be in Japan for a while, and then they would make their way to the U.S.
Metal, but Game Boy exists. Let's see.
Metal.
Oh, someone made... There is a Metallic Advance one that was a limited release that only a few people got. That's not what we're looking at, though. I can't find it.
There it is, Scott. Oh, there's bastard. That bad boy. Look at that thing.
Bastard.
Look at that.
Isn't
that
beautiful? I miss it so much.
You need one. Robin from Texas, thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, there are two hosts on
this one
show.
This one's rocking the last thing that I played, which was on my list, which is the Super Mario Brothers DX
nice.
Deluxe.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing crunchy. Wrong with that at all. So I'm looking at Pocket here. I swear they had a metal one. Maybe it was just black. I don't remember. I think I even had that. Is it this one?
Anytime Nintendo said they were coming out with...
That's what it was, dude. I figured it out. It's just silver. Here, chat, I'll put it up. It's not actual metal, but it was a silver color.
Oh, this thing.
A silver paint job, and it looked nice. See?
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
I wanted that. I never had that, but I want that.
No. You want that. You need that.
I want that now.
Is that the one that's backlit? What one was backlit?
That one is. I think the Pockets were backlit. And I think they were maybe 149, and it seemed a little high for me at the time, so I didn't do it.
Right.
But yeah.
But now it seems like nothing in this retro age. Now, ideally, Scott, if you wanted the most ultimate experience for handheld pockets, now we have the AmberNick RG35XX, which plays a lot more, but it doesn't take any carts. It's all done through SD cards and that type of thing. There's the Analog Pocket, which is gorgeous and beautiful and backlit screen. Is pretty much the same form factor and is so smooth. You can put your carts in there. You also can mod it so that you can play other ROM games and stuff. But why would you? It's so gorgeous. And you can pick up Game Boy games, color and advance, for fairly inexpensive still.
Yeah.
There's a few that are rare and you won't be able to get. But for the most part, you can get pretty much anything you want for a reasonable price.
Yeah. I don't know what I would actually... I would love to have one, but I don't know if I'd actually play it that often because
that's the problem.
They're small, and I don't know. Like, I can do a lot more with my Steam Deck now. I've gotten so connected and hooked on my Steam Deck for use with Emu stuff that I hardly ever... I'm never going... Well, that's not true of the AmberNick, though. I like that format, and that new one looks real tight. Looks real good. I want that.
Yeah, the new one Scott's talking about is the RG35XX, and they finally added the wireless component, which is great because now something that I wanted to do because I started to learn about all these interconnected things you could do, like the link cable you can do with the Game Boy Color, Game Boy as well. You can play with other people. You can do that through NetPlay if you have the Wi-Fi, which you could do on the Miu Mini too.
Right.
But... they're bringing it to our favorite one, which is the RG35XX Plus. I think it's going to be the same price. You just have to wait for it to be in stock.
Yeah, I think I'm probably out of the market. But if you're out there looking,
you know, yeah, they're looking. But what if me and you want to play some, was it Mario Tennis? What if we want to play some Mario Tennis?
That's the only, well, there's other Mario Tennis games, but yes, you're right. If we want to play a little Mario Tennis and link to connect, oh no, only the GBA supported linking devices, right?
That's not true. I think the link cables, when I went back to the original Game Boy, it definitely was in the Game Boy Color. You also had a few things that would use that little infrared thing, including programming it to be a remote.
I remember the remote part, and I remember that weird printer thing you could buy, but I don't remember if you could link two players together on a Game Boy. Is that true?
Well, absolutely. That's one of the hottest things about Pokemon, and the reason why you have multiple colors is because you would get gold, your friend would get silver. You would catch them all on yours, and then you have to battle for the rest.
Mm. Well, that's right. Those bastards. This is how they get you, man. They make it so there's two versions of the same exact game, except stuff to capture in it is just a little bit different on each, and therefore either you buy both games or you have a friend who has the other one.
Yeah.
It's insidious.
And buying both games doesn't even really resolve the problem. You still maybe you can catch them all, but you can't catch them all on the same machine.
That's true.
So you still can't go, I've caught them all.
Mm-hmm.
I've caught most of them.
That's right.
You're in here.
Now, the color device came in five original colors. So not only did it have a color display, it came manufactured in these colors. Berry. Grape. Kiwi. Dandelion.
Isn't berry and grape the same color?
Anyway, I don't know. No, berry and grape is a weird one. But kiwi, dandelion, and teal. Three of those things you can
milk.
Eat. You can eat three of those. You don't want to eat dandelions or teal, all right?
Right.
Or Teal'c. Don't eat him either.
Don't eat Teal'c. He was on the game show, the Game Awards last night, and he did amazing.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
And then they had the translucent thing that, like you've got there.
Yeah, the atomic purple.
I've always said that 90s era thing where everybody wanted translucent plastic casing for limited editions of things was going to make a big comeback. And I think the first... moment of that comeback has happened with that limited edition Steam Deck OLED that just went up for sale. It's translucent. You can see all the guts.
Is it really?
It is. I really wanted one. I was too late, so I got the regular one. But still, the point is, they got all that orange in there, and then they got this see-through-ish kind of casing. It's not as see-through as your purple Game Boy there.
Right.
But it's a step in that direction because I think that's coming back big time. I think across the board.
I think you're right. And man, did I want to collect them all too. I want every one of the colors. I didn't know this until this past week. The Game Boy colors that are spelt out on the Game Boy, like in some kind of weird childish crayon.
Yeah.
Those are the colors of the freaking machines. I didn't know that. I didn't know. That color was written out with each of the colors that corresponded to each of the Game Boy colors.
I didn't know that either. That's wild.
It's like, that makes it easy for me then.
I think it makes sense. It makes sense. Now, every one of their ads, I'm showing some of the ads right now on the stream, every one of their ads for the Game Boy Color, which there are a bunch of them, and they were international. Every territory had their own language, all that stuff. They all had a weird voice at the end, never the same voice, but a weird voice at the end that would always say this. Get into it. Yeah, it was very Sega, kind of a Sega thing. I mean,
that was very much a backlash to, hey, we're Nintendo, we can be hip too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They were playing Sega cards. It may have been, you know, a shared agency. I don't know. But when when that happens, big lips appear that say it, and they are animated from the C in the word color. So big red lips come out, and they all go. Get into it, and then it goes back.
And they got berry, and they got the berry lipstick on. It's pretty smart.
Yeah, I like it. It is kind of smart. I like it a lot. Yeah. I remember those when they aired, and I remember thinking, "Well, that's dumb." But then I bought one, so it's clearly not that dumb. Let's look at the launch lineup. We had Centipede, Game & Watch Gallery 2, Pocket Bomberman, which is actually all right. It's an okay version.
Yeah, we talked a minute about that in a previous episode.
Yeah, back in the Bomberman episode, I think. And then Tetris DS, because no Game Boy should launch without a version of Tetris on it. I think Nintendo knew that and believed that, and therefore launched it with a version of Tetris.
Yeah, and if you don't know what the DX is, the DX is for deluxe. Mm-hmm. And all four of these games, you wouldn't see an exclusive title until 1999, so nothing would be exclusive only to the Game Boy Color. These would always all be backwards compatible with the previous Game Boy.
Yep. So that was a big deal for them. Even when the the Advance came out, they were like, guess what? Game Boy games will run on it.
Kiss my butt.
They're going to stick out weird, but they'll be there. And sure enough, literally you say this to your fat cartridge, you put it in there.
Get into it.
Anyway.
But you know, it had been 9 years since the Game Boy original had come out. And so a lot of us had already collected many games. And so when this had launched, they didn't have a lot of launch titles, only four. Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because if you were getting one, you probably already had one, or you could pick up a Game Boy game pretty cheap. Wouldn't have to be one of these.
Can you explain to me the deal, how the games that they were, if you already had a version of a game on the Game Boy, the OG black and white Game Boy, or the pea green Game Boy, I guess, there was a certain number of back titles like that the new device included libraries for to present them in color, right?
Right. They had color palettes. And so you could then load up those color palettes. And it's just a bunch of instead of being gray tones, it's these levels of colors. And you could load up different color palettes for different games as well. I think you had to hold down some button when you started the game. I'm trying to remember exactly, so I haven't had one to do that with. I didn't think to look at it. But yeah, there's a button press that you do, and you can cycle through the color palettes, which I've done a lot of in emulation.
That's my memory of it, is there was a weird way you could reduce color on games as old as, like, not the original Tetris, but things like, I don't know.
Right. And you could do it in Tetris. It had a color palette, but it was not nearly as exciting. There wasn't like gradations on each of the shapes, right? It was, you're playing all in magenta, or you're playing all in one other color, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But Tetris DX, man, that had all the colors. Exciting.
I have a memory. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I have a memory that none of these Tetris titles up to this point, maybe DX changed this, but they didn't have the hold a piece in reserve feature of Tetris, which now everyone relies on that feature. I mean, you've got to have the reserve piece.
I don't even know if they even did that in the DX. I played a little bit this past week, the Tetris DX. I had that.
Yeah.
And I don't recall, because I am no good at Tetris. I love Tetris, but I'm no good at it.
I'm okay at it. When things get real hairy, I'm not your best player, but I do okay, and I get pretty far. Tetris for me is more about, like, I like Tetris games that give you a Zen mode, because they're just like, hey, you know, we know sometimes you just don't want to feel the pressure to keep up with the speed here. So let's just have a nice relaxing, like Tetris. What's that new one? Not Evolved. What's it called? Tetris 99. Tetris Effect. That's it. Tetris Effect, the newer one.
Oh, Tetris Effect. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that thing chills me the F out. Now, there's a mode in there that's pretty hectic, but, you know, the campaign. But you can play kind of a Zen mode that's just chill. If you have VR, it's even cooler.
Oh, I want to play some Tetris in VR. I haven't done it yet, but I'm very interested.
Yeah, I'm sort of into it. That was a perfect dark for the Game Boy Color. Damn.
See, that's so good. It's amazing what Game Boy and Nintendo did with their handheld stuff. Just beating the competition down.
Destroyed them. Like, what is Sega going to, what's their reaction to this with the Game Boy or Game Gear? What are they going to do? You know?
Right.
And the Nomad was a non-starter. It was so dumb.
It was just as simple as not understanding how your primary audience would be playing these games. These were primarily kids playing this game who did not have the disposable income to go get more batteries. So no matter how awesome your system is, if you only can play it for like an hour before it dies and you have to beg for more batteries, you're going to lose interest pretty quick.
Yeah, let me tell you a thing that annoys parents. Asking them constantly for more batteries. They hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, can I have some more batteries? I need more batteries.
Parents hate it. Even when I was a kid and I needed more, you know, C's and D's and stuff for my whatever.
Your jam box, your boom box.
My boom box. They'd be like, quit burning through those. Batteries don't. My dad literally said the words to me once. Batteries don't grow on trees. He said that.
Right. They grow from the ground like potatoes. Everybody knows that. Yeah, jeez.
Duh. I mean, duh.
Duh.
Yeah. Anyway, it's
but Nintendo had it. I mean, but technology was moving along so fast at that time. It's like you would look at it and go, why not color? And then you would play it and realize, oh, yeah, that's right. Nintendo doesn't care about that aspect. They're giving us something that we can actually play, and they focus on the games. That's always been the reason why Nintendo wins, because they focus on the games first and everything else second.
Yeah, and the other stuff is just efficient enough to keep up with the games.
That's right.
And so you don't have to feel like you're always worried about what the hardware needs you to do. You're just sort of playing the game. I respect playing the game. I like that a lot, actually.
Snap it to a Slim Jim. Know what they say at the end of that commercial
again? They say, you're soaking in it. No, I don't know.
Obviously, it's not. That's the problem. Wasn't catchy enough for me.
Yeah, the phrase was get inside. Wait, what was it?
Get into it.
Get into it. That was their thing.
Get into it. Yeah. That's not Nintendo bad at that.
Okay? I'm going to go ahead and agree. Bad. I don't think that they nailed that part. I think they got that wrong. But they tried.
Right. And I love when they do the colors, though. Man, it's like, we're not going to give you all the colors you want, but we're going to give you some, the device itself is going to be color. How about that? We're going to call it. And I was a little confused. I remember being confused when I first saw the Game Boy Color, because I was like, wait a minute. Do they mean the system is color, or they mean the screen is color?
Both.
I need to see it. Yeah, they meant both, but yeah. I wasn't sure, because I've dealt with Nintendo before. Yeah, how you people are.
Yeah, I've dealt with Nintendo before.
Yeah, I know how you people play. Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so I got to make sure before I purchase.
Sometimes they're a little fast and loose with the marketing terms sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And I know people are mad in other parts of the world, the European area specifically, that they went with the American spelling of color. I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they didn't have that many colors. Well, I guess the Atomic Purple, I guess they could have used.
Well, okay, that. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second, because Japan had the Atomic Purple. You couldn't get it here. And that annoyed me at the time. I don't like exclusives based on where the exclusive is.
Man, that orange spice thing they got in so many of, like, the GameCube, that's the one that I just love. Mm-hmm. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's good stuff. They're about to show my favorite game of the device, which we'll get to in a minute. But let's talk about the games we loved. All right.
Yes.
So Brian, I'm going to start with the games I think are the key titles for this device. For me, it starts with Mario Golf.
Good pick.
I love Mario Golf so much. It's responsible for a ton of numb leg toilet time at that time in my life, and I would, like I said, people would beg me to borrow it all the time, and I would make them wash their hands before they used it. I was very precious about it.
Yeah, I know how I use this. Mm-hmm. I'm on to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was kind of just like this moment of, oh my gosh, video game golf is the best thing ever. And I'd really never felt that way up to that moment. And it is responsible for a lifelong since love for video game golf that I don't have for the regular game of golf. Mm-hmm. I don't care to go. Don't really care. No. Not interested really at all. You could come to me tomorrow and say, here's some brand new clubs. We're going down to the thing. We're going to do 18 holes. I just go, oh, are we really? That doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound that great. But video game golf, this was injected into my veins with Mario Golf on the color, and it changed how I felt about golf from then on. Yeah. And now I'm interested anytime a realistic golf game comes out, a goofy golf game, anytime Hot Shots had a new version, all this golf shit. I love it all. Well, not like Disney Goofy, but you know what I mean.
Did Disney have a Goofy Golf? If they didn't, they really missed out. But this, I believe, might have been, if not one of the first exclusive titles for the Game Boy Color. You could only play it on the Game Boy Color. So they could borrow it, but not if they had one of those old the old regular Game Boys. No, sir. They wouldn't be able to use it. So
yeah, that thing, you're straight up correct. That would not play there.
So did you what appealed to you about the Mario Golf? Was it the story mode, or was it just the moment to moment of the golf gameplay?
It was,
because I know a lot of people like tennis because it's a bit of an RPG where you've got to work your way up to playing against the Mario characters.
That is absolutely part of it. I mean, and they do that in this game. There's a story in a kind of an RPG, mini RPG. In fact, I think the same.
You start as Kid or Sherry or Joe. Joe would be my favorite.
Both games you just mentioned are made by Camelot, and they were really good at this stuff. They also worked on the GBA versions of both tennis and that. But that's what made them great. And the N64 game, which they also made, was very similar. It had a whole thing like that, like a whole story mode RPG thing. You could just get in and go knock out some balls with Mario if you wanted to. It's fine. If that's how you want to play, you can just go do, you know, 9 holes and go home. But I liked the deeper take, the longer story. It made me realize what was possible with a sports type title.
Right.
And
right.
It's only now that you start to see, oh, I shouldn't say start, the last 10 years or so, you see big sports franchises like Madden and the FIFA series before the name changed, NHL, all those. They have these career modes where it's a full-blown story. You get some rookie and he's talking to other people and he's working his way up the ranks and he's playing games and doing better and then getting traded. And like they're doing all of that. It's not as goofball as a Mario title, but it's the same idea of like, let's take sports to the next logical level. It isn't just about being on the field playing the game.
It's what I hate about those, though, that I loved what you just described in the Mario world because it's very subdued. There's not a lot of attitude. I really hate the sports game that try to get into this culture because there's so many different cultures in these sports. But then they just pick this one outrageous culture and they just roll with it. And I'm like, what if I'm not a cool bro dude?
You know? What then?
What if that's not what I like about that? So don't take me down a path that makes me be, you know, some kind of bro dude. Because that wouldn't be me if I was in sports.
No, it wouldn't be you at all. Right. And I feel the exact same way. It's like it's a perfect sort of lighthearted, light touch. Yes.
Give me the light heart.
Yeah, give me some of that.
Give me Wario at the end. That's what I want. 250 yard hit. Can't even beat Mario. Mario's doing the 270 yards. What a jerk.
Well, if you ever, what was I going to say? If you ever, I forgot. Shit. Oh, if you want to look for a game today that is very much this aesthetic, the kind of game it is, the other activities that aren't even golf in the game, that sort of stuff. There's a game that came out right around the launch of the Switch called Golf Story, I think.
Oh, yes.
That game was awesome.
I think we've talked about that before because I was like, whatever, Scott, you and your golf, you're always trying to sell. And it seems like I went back and played that and that was good.
It is good. Golf Story. It's very good. Yeah. And it deserves to be played if you haven't before. It's super cheap on the Switch now. And if they ever come up with a sequel to that, I will charge my Switch. Like, I'll tell you that right now. Because right now my Twitch is upstairs, just like no battery. It's just laying there, going, "Please feed me." And
why are you ignoring me, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, show me love. He says,
"What did I do to you? Why you play with that new sexy thing over there? What is that called?"
Let's take a moment, shall we, to talk about our friends over at Notion. Look, there's lots of reasons to like Notion or even love them. But my favorite thing about Notion is the ease of use. And if you're like, wait a minute, what is Notion? How do I discover this magic? Well, I'll tell you about it in a second. But, you know, manage your time, your to-dos, your tasks, your teamwork. In a world today where so much of what we're doing is remote and digital, look no further than Notion. You can use the Notion Q&A, and you won't believe how much time it'll save you. If you're like me, you already know how amazing it is, but today's sponsor, Notion, is incredible. I use it every day for notes, docs, project management, stuff where I schedule shows and have to like let my co-host know what's going on. Very excited to learn they launched a new AI tool called Q&A. It's just like a personal assistant that responds in seconds with exactly what you need right to your doc. I just used it the other day to help shorten up some show notes and make them look pretty. I think it worked really well. Notion combines my notes, docs, and other projects together in one beautiful place, and navigating that space is easier than ever thanks to Notion's new feature, Q&A. This is that AI assistant. And it's awesome. It does it all in seconds. It's very fast. It's very good. And look, when your projects get more complex, finding out what you're looking for or trying to find it across all your entire workspace, that just gets harder, and that's where Notion Q&A comes in. It answers any questions you have, making use of the entire database of knowledge that you've got there. Make sure your answers are actually helpful. I love it. Notion AI can give you and yours, instant answers to your questions using information from across your wiki, your projects, your docs, your meeting notes. And you can try Notion AI for free when you go to notion.com/playretro. That's all lower case. So let me ask you a question. Do you have an urgent question you'd normally turn to a coworker and answer? Or for an answer? Well, don't do that. Use Q&A. You don't have to wait for Bill over there to slowly give you your answer, even if it's not even the... He may even give you the right answer. Sorry, Bill. It'll search through thousands of your documents in seconds and answer that question for you. Plus, you can trust your data is secure because Notion AI is designed to protect your information. No AI models are trained with your information. The data is encrypted, and answers will never use information from pages you don't have access to. I like that a lot. When you use Notion AI, it's even easier to do your most meaningful work. Try Notion AI for free when you go to Notion.com. That's N-O-T-I-O-N. Notion.com/playretro. Do that in all lowercase. All right, that's important. Notion.com/playretro to try the powerful, easy to use Notion AI today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. Notion rocks. Now, here's the other thing I did. I am of the belief that the best version of The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening is the one called Link's Awakening DX, and that game came out for the Game Boy Color as an updated re-release of Link's Awakening, which I already thought was an amazing game for the original Game Boy. Bunch of new additions, most notable being the whole thing is in color. That's obvious. Right. It was released just after Ocarina of Time on the N64, and both Oracle of Seasons, the other very popular Zelda game during this time, Oracle of Ages games are, you know, likely based on Link's Awakening DX. Like, it was the basis for those.
Right.
Can also be played on Game Boy, regular old Game Boy, with some features disabled. So that was kind of a nice deal of like, hey, in case you get a new machine this Christmas, but you already have a Game Boy, this will work now. And then later it'll work again, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking at hitting the Oracle series, which was Nintendo's, they want to do something episodic. And I haven't ever played them, but they're on my list. I'd also never played The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening until, I think, the year before last when I got it on the Switch, which was the remake. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about the Super Mario RPG, because if it is as good as and as good of experience as I had with Link's Awakening, I can't wait. But I am looking forward to going back and playing this. And I believe I have Link's Awakening DX on my Game Boy? I'm not sure. I have so many Pokemons, though.
Yeah.
Did I mention I have the Pokemons?
I know you have many Pokemon. Oops, something fell. What happened? You all right?
Yep. I dropped all. There were a bunch of carts that were in this little container, they're all on the floor.
Did you 3D print that? Did you make that?
Yeah, I did actually 3D print these. Nice little
shelf.
Nice little Game Boy gray, so you can slide your carts in there. And as long as you keep it flat on the surface and not knock it off a table, they'll stay right in there.
Yeah, they ain't going nowhere.
Nope.
I mean, there are others on my list. These two are really the bomb, though. But I played a lot of Worms. I played a lot of Super Mario Brothers DX.
That was my pick.
Yeah, let's go over to you then. Let's talk about Mario and why that was your number one pick. Because really, it's just the same game as the arcade at the end of the day, right?
Right. Yeah, it's the same. It's the Super Mario Brothers, but it's the deluxe edition. Is you playing again? But this time, I find it a little more fun because the graphics were updated a little bit, and. But it is a little bit more narrow screen. So the games can be more narrow and the sprites have to be a little bit, the character sprites have to be larger. And that can cause a problem, especially when you're playing platforming games that you require seeing kind of ahead of you a little bit, or maybe need to back up. And I was worried about that when I first started playing this week, because I was like, I don't remember. But I do remember in regular Super Mario Brothers on the NES, I would go too far and be like, crap. I can't get back to jump up on a level so I can grab a flower or whatever I've accidentally missed.
Right.
This one allows you to walk back a little bit more. So once you pass the edge of the screen, you can actually go back just a little bit because of the narrowness of the screen. Plays really well, really fast, good format, can take it anywhere with you. I love going back and doing the challenges since I've finished most of these levels. Most of it's muscle memory, and I'm just running through it, but you get a challenge mode here too. So you can have time trials where you collect extra red coins. And it always freaks me out to see something in a level like a red coin that I never saw before. You know, it's like, oh, my God, I've been this level a million times. And now there's a red coin there. Almost feels like a magic trick.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I haven't touched this old game in any of its forms since somebody beat it in 3 minutes in a speedrun. Because the minute that happens,
this is all just magic.
I just get annoyed. It's all a trick. To me, it's like seeing behind the curtain. I don't like to necessarily see the behind the curtain. I do like, because I'm showing it right now, I like that they give a pseudo overworld like some of the later games. Because prior to that, it was just World 1-1, and it was a black screen with white text on it, and I don't know, it's nice.
You got a you got a loading screen, which is you didn't need it as a cart, but you did have like a transition screen. But yeah, here you have like an overworld that kind of tells you where you've been, so you can kind of go back and you can play levels over again if you want to jump around. There's a map editor which I looked at, but I didn't really do much with, and something I didn't even know it was even part of this game is there's a multiplayer version. You could actually. And I'm not sure if this one ties in or not. I didn't get a chance to fully dig into this part because I didn't find out about it until today. But you could hook up your Game Boy Color. There was an adapter that allowed you to hook it up to your cell phone. What?
What?
In 1998?
What?
What cell phone are you going to hook it up to?
Yeah, what cable are you using? That's freaky.
So there's like, I guess, an adapter. I don't even know what it looks like. I haven't even looked it up. All I know is I read it and I was like, what? Are you kidding me? You could log into your cell phone and play with somebody else across the world. I'm like, that's not possible in 98. No, no.
Well, they did that in Japan, the Game Boy Color. We talked about it before. It's the game only in Japan, but it was Mario Golf without the Mario branding. So it's the exact same game.
Right.
And I forgot what it was called. Golf Connect or something.
Okay.
And you'd play that game, again, just without Mario characters, but really the gameplay is the same. And that thing let you hook up to Japanese cell phones and play multiplayer. Yes. And so the Game Boy Color must have been uniquely designed to handle that, but I don't think the world is ready for it, you know? Like,
oh, no, no. That would have been like in the small print. I love how Nintendo handled things during this era where it was like, They were throwing everything at it. What's the maximum possibilities? You know, it's like, let's how much does the infrared cost? Oh, it's been in remote controls for quite a while now. Throw that in there.
Yeah.
What else we got? Got some kind of data link cable? Yeah, let's come up with our own format and we'll throw that in there so we can hook up against so people can hook up on stuff.
Everybody gives shit to Sony for doing that with like memory cards and stuff with the PSP and forward, but I feel like Nintendo did a fair amount of that themselves.
Oh, they did plenty of that. What was the printer? Was it a thermal printer? I was trying to remember. I've seen it before, and I'm trying to remember if it was a thermal printer where it reacts on
pretty
heat.
Sure it was heat. Yeah, thermal. Pretty
I'm
sure.
Thinking so, too. How much does that suck up your battery?
That was was basically a receipt printer from the Woolworths. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That's all that
but
was.
But you could print out, you know, Mario, whatever. What's on the screen? That's one of the things you could do here with the Super Mario Deluxe. One of the things you could do. Just print it out. Get a high score, print it out, mail it in.
Yep.
You got the high score. Put it in the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know.
God, I wish you had it. I truly wish I knew where my color is. The more we talk about it, the more mad it is I don't have it here.
Right.
I want that thing. It's probably sitting there with Mario Golf plugged into it. Son of a bitch. Let's talk about your other pick, Pokemon Gold and Silver. We talked a little bit about it, but tell me how you're feeling about it so far. You're playing it. You're liking it.
I feel like I've moved, just like learning to play JRPGs, which I had never really done growing up, have become my new obsession. And this is the same thing with the Pokemon games. I've played Pokemon games, but
you were going to be such a turn-based combat hound, you know?
God, maybe this reason why I got all of my, you know, my action playing. You know, I still love race games. They're very, they chill me out. I don't get excited when I play race games. They make me feel relaxed because you learn a pattern over time and you're just repeating that pattern over and over again, especially on lap stuff. I don't like straight tracks too much.
Yeah.
But I like the patterns. And that's what Pokemon does really well. It's you're encountering, you know, pocket monsters out in the grass lots of times and you're trying to catch them and you're pretty much doing the same stuff every time. Unless you get a little further along, but pretty much it's, you know, it's attack. You maybe use some of your special moves. You're evolving your characters. You're just slowly progressing through the world. 100 new Pokemons for this one. I was very excited about that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there were less or few or more. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I was very excited to see that. And I did like the day-night system. I thought that was pretty cool. You actually have to sit. It's a little annoying too, though. I will say it's a little bit annoying because when you start the game, all right. So these use battery saves.
Yeah.
All the Pokemon games I have, batteries are dead.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but all the batteries are dead. And I'm like, well, maybe it's this amount of use. I don't think that's how that works, Brian, because I think it only uses the battery when it saves something.
They just decay. It decays over time, I think, just like
almost all the rest of the game, like the Mario game.
Yeah.
Man, I still got game saves from whenever somebody had it originally.
You got saves for days on there.
I got saves for days. I had to delete some saves. It makes me feel very uncomfortable. I don't like save. Don't like delete them. Yeah. But Pokemon, where it's very important to have a save, you know, the Mario thing, I could jump around a good bit. It'd be fine to play it a million times. I don't care.
Yeah.
But my Pokemon, I'm like, you know, I've collected, you know, 20 Pokemon already. And I'm like, all right, cool. Can't turn anything off, because if I do, I'll lose my Pokemon.
Yeah.
I gotta get in there. I've ordered a screwdriver, a security screwdriver, so I can pop the back off there. It's a couple of points for soldering. It's gonna be very light work. Throw one of those CR2032 watch battery things or whatever they are in there.
Yeah.
And start it back up.
Yep.
This is one of the reasons why I went down another hole again, because I found a Game Boy reader thing that lets you dump the game saves. I gotta do that.
Oh, that'd be fun. I
order one of those too.
Yeah, you should do that. Look at you with all the gadgets and the wizardry.
I got to get all the gadgets. I got to collect all the gadgets as well. See, and now I'm collecting too much stuff.
Yeah, you're not just collecting. You're not busily collecting Pokemon. You're busily collecting things that help you do shit with your Pokemon cartridge. And I like it. I respect it.
I like it, but I am really digging. I've played stuff like this, like the I think Pocket Morty's. Well, no matter what you think about Rick and Morty.
Oh, I liked Pocket Morty's. It was fun.
Pocket Morty was a lot of fun. It's been around forever. Still out there. I still enjoy it. It is very much, you know, in that vein of these types of the of
yeah, that was pretty Pokemon good. Types. I also like, let's see, there's another one that I really like. What's it called? Something about tapes. What is that? Hold on.
Tapes? I don't know. Is it
cassette?
So you've already sold me on Cassette Monsters.
Here it is. Cassette Beasts, it's called.
Oh.
Look that up on Steam. I'll give you a link. And
give me a link.
I bought this game a while back. It's the reviews kind of tell you everything you need to know. People love it. But it's basically one of the coolest Pokemon likes I ever played. It's very good. Highly recommend this. Yeah, look at
that. Now I've got this next year I'm planning on playing through all of these Pokemons. Like I said, I got Pokemon, some kind of Pokemon Black. I've got Blue, Red, Yellow. I've got Gold. I don't know if I need to play some of these. Like, I have Gold and Silver. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm going to play with myself or something. I don't know. There's a link cable on my GameCube player. I'm not sure. I hooked my link cable up to it and then to my Game Boy Color. I'm not sure if I can do Silver on my handheld and then maybe I can collect them all. I got to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just started doing this a couple of days ago on this GameCube. So I'm still learning. There's also, I ordered a Game Boy Advanced. Is it Advanced? With
Advance.
Advanced?
Just Advance. Advance.
All right.
Yeah.
I ordered a cable for it that plugs in from the link cable on the Game Boy Advance to the port, the second player port on the GameCube, and you can apparently control some games using that, like as a controller, and that would solve a lot of problems, because I like to stream these games from the original hardware if I can, and it'd be nice if I could get that feeling, that nostalgic feeling of holding that in my hand and then playing it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And being able to capture it too. Yeah. So that would be nice.
That would be great. I have no doubt you'll find a way. That's what you do. You find
That's what
ways.
I do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, these are the games.
Oh, this was cool.
These are the ones we love. These are the ones we enjoy. All right. And Brian, in
25 years.
Yeah. And for real, if you like this kind of gameplay, try Cassette Beast. It's really good. It came out this year, so it's new. All right. Let's move on to another part of the show we like to call Guess Our Game. It's where we take old audio from some old game and we try to trick each other into figuring out what the hell it is. We only get three questions each. And we can offer up other hints as we want. So it's our prerogative as the keeper of the sound. I'm going to start this week.
I like how that turned at the end. It's like, come on in. Welcome. I want you to listen to what we're doing here. No, no. You sit down.
That's right.
We're going to play the audio for you.
I'm the keeper of the sound. Be at That's my right. feet. Anyway, here it is. This is Game Boy Color. I tried to keep it in the
Oh, that was
warehouse.
Smart. I totally didn't do that.
Nah, it's all right. We don't need themes around here. I just did it for fun. But Game Boy Color, the year is 2000. Here is your audio.
Oh my God. I played this a million times.
This music should be a giveaway.
Yeah.
Chat room, you guys play along as well. Brian can't look at you yet, though.
Variational theme.
Chat's cracking me up. Chat says Kirby something, Mario something, Choplifter DX. Nope, none of these things yet. I like that, Taz.
Gotta play this a million times. What the crap is it?
Give me your first question.
All right, is this a Nintendo first party title? Is this something that they developed, or is this a third party developed?
It is Nintendo IP, but developed a company that isn't necessarily... Well, at the time, Nintendo worked with them exclusively. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Kind of like how Camelot and their golf games were Camelot and Nintendo together.
I got you. All right.
Hold this song. All right, that might be the giveaway, that music there.
Yeah, that looks, sounds a little more like... Okay, let's get this party started. Let's get this party started. All right, so it is intellectual property of Nintendo, but it was developed by a third party. Would that third party, who did a lot of work with them at the time, would that be, was it Rare?
That is correct, it is Rare.
Okay, all right.
I think you're going to get it now.
Yeah, because I think we may have... But which one is, you say it's the...
Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color. Okay,
Game Boy Color. Year 2000.
Which one was this, though? So how many questions is that? Two?
That's two. So you have one
Two left. Questions. Shoot.
This part here always gets me.
I'm trying to think of the title of it, though. Is it Donkey Kong? Is Donkey Kong the character, this the IP?
The answer to that is, if that was the name of the game, I'd say you won, but it's not quite.
Right, it's not the name of the game, right?
But do play Donkey Kong in it, yes.
Okay.
That's your third and final question.
Yeah, Jesus. I can't think of the title, though. Donkey Kong Color Deluxe.
Let's double check if that is correct.
They named everything.
Incorrect. It is just straight up Donkey Kong Country, and it just happens to be the version on the Game Boy Color.
They didn't
give it another name. It's a little like Mario Golf on the N64 and the Game Boy. They just kept the names the same.
Hilarious.
You did pretty good, though. I'd probably give you a half point for that.
Well, we got you half point. Half point for that one.
Yeah, half point. I like it. All right, Brian, tell me about yours in terms of year and system and all that.
I closed the tab. Where was that? 1995. It is on a PC.
PC 95. All right.
1995 on the PC.
Excellent. Let's
and
try
I was,
it.
And I was feverishly looking for this a few minutes ago.
Oh, were you? Okay. I love when you forget which one you put in. It cracks me up.
I had to go back through my YouTube DLP history to locate it.
By the way, I want to give credit to Taz. Got it right in the chat. Nice job, Taz. Yep.
Taz always does good.
All right, here's yours. PC.
Oh, did I say PC?
You did.
I apologize.
What is it?
I think this is supposed to be the Genesis. I'm an idiot. Yeah, it's the Genesis Mega Drive. I was looking at something else. It's the Genesis Mega Drive.
Same
apologies.
Year, 95?
1995, yeah. 95 apparently is something I've used before because it was stuck. I saw that wrong. Yes, it is the Genesis 1995. You might want to start the audio again. So
all right, let me try that again. Full frame. See what I got.
Now you're hearing the Mega Drive Genesis, right?
Yeah. It had kind of a Sonic vibe going. What is that? Okay. Is it a side-scrolling game, Brian?
Yes. It is a side-scrolling platforming game, if that helps you any.
Okay. Is it a Sega product? Sega branded IP game.
It is not a Sega IP.
It's not a Sega IP.
But I will tell you, it was on Genesis, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, and it was on Windows. So I guess technically, but this is not the audio capture from. That was definitely the Sega Genesis version.
It's a hard one. Okay, third question. Is this a big publisher that we would all recognize the name?
Absolutely. This is a huge publisher. As a matter of fact, and multiple publishers from different parts. How about I run down the titles of the publishers who sure. would publish this game in different platforms, whether okay. it be for the Mega Drive or for the SNES or whatever. We had Sega publishing this in one region. We had Nintendo publishing in another region. We had Capcom publishing in another region. And Black Pearl Software, excuse me, and Disney Interactive.
Disney Interactive.
It just got interesting.
All right. Shit. I'm out of ideas. I'm going to say this is a Disney game, and I'm going to say it's...
Side-scrolling platformer. Disney game would be a good guess. Mm-hmm.
It's the chip... The Chipmunks Go to Hollywood. I don't know.
You're trying too hard?
I don't know the name. I give up. I'm out.
Oh, come on.
That's all I got.
It's right there.
What is it?
Toy Story.
Oh, geez. It's Toy Story. That's terrible. Oh, I got that so wrong.
I thought that was an easy one.
Oh, not at all.
But I played a lot of this, though. I played a butt ton of this game.
So. No wonder you don't like all the sequels. All you did was Toy Story 1 stuff when you were younger.
Of course. And Toy Story 2 was awesome. It was until 3 that it broke my heart.
I liked 3. I still haven't seen.
I know you do.
I haven't seen 4.
I bet you like Cars 3 too, don't you?
I like it better than 2. Cars 2 is not good. Cars 3 is better than 2. Cars 1 I still like. Cars 1 is
legit. I still like
I think Cars 1 is a good movie. I think the other two are lesser than, and by far, 2 is lesser than 3. 3 is just
right.
Whatever. Those weren't for me. Those sequels are for kids. They're not. They weren't made. They don't care. That's fine. But in the case, I still haven't seen Toy Story 4 because I'm afraid to.
Yeah. You know why? Because you saw 3 and you're like, oh, that was close.
Yeah. There's kind of a thing going on with that with me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. Now it's time for some emails.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Or more like email. There's only one.
Emails.
We get a lot, but we're just going to read this one. Email us at playretroshow@gmail.com. We got one from Chuck Byers.
Oh, hi, Chuck.
Yeah, he does all our Chuck buying. Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. Speaking of black market games, this may not count as it was an app I had on my Palm Pilot. Dope Wars. Do you remember Dope Wars, dude?
Oh, man. Yes. I do. I love Dope. We need to talk about those kind of games eventually. Yeah. When did we talk about black market games, though, Chuck? I love that. But yeah, so speaking of black market games, I don't recall us talking about. I love it. Dreg Wars, great.
Oh, it's so much. I used to love every version of that. Yeah, my hands Dope on. Wars. And I also played it mostly on my Palm Pilot 5V. What was that called?
Right.
Shit. The really cool metallic Palm Pilot they put out. It was
the 5, wasn't it? It was just the 5. Is that right? Palm 5?
It was really thin. It was amazing. Yeah. I played so many.
Yeah, that was like late in the life, right? That was one of the cooler ones.
One of the final gasps, really, of the whole thing. I want to say it was right before they put out that phone. What was the phone? The Palm Trio.
Is that it?
Yeah.
The Trio. Sounds right.
Yeah, and then the Trio, of course, got murdered by...
We just knew iPhone. Palm had such a grip on that type of market. I just knew they were going to transition into they were going to be the phone people. They were going to be the phone people
forever.
This is where I was going.
Yeah, it was going to be forever. And I don't know what happened there. Well, I know what happened. Yeah. Apple swooped in and destroyed them. And then Android came in and made it worse. And then BlackBerry died. Everybody died. Like, I know there's that movie about BlackBerry and I want to see it. But are there any good documentaries about the Palm thing? Because I would love to watch that.
I know. I feel like it's just going to be forgotten. But man, I had every time a new Palm device came out, it was always just so exciting. You could write on the little screen with your little pen. It was just, oh my God.
Yeah, it was great.
It's operating system on a handheld. It was insane.
It was badass.
What a perfect.
First time I ever played Peggle. First time I ever played. What's the gem one that started it all? Bejeweled.
Bejeweled. Yeah.
First time I ever played that was on a device like that. I love that damn thing.
That reminds me, we didn't talk much about it at the top of the show, though, but we was talking about the exclusive titles that got released. There was that, who made that hexagon game that was early on for this, the Game Boy Color. It was like some kind of weird, did Rare make some kind of weird hexagon game or something? It was like, hey, you guys like Tetris, look at Hexite or something.
Is it the game Hexagon? That was a...
Hexagon.
There was a game called Hexagon, but I swear that may have been like 360. That was a long time later. Hexagon. Not the shape, internet search engine. No. Oh my gosh.
Not the shape, but not the color, and not the hex codes either. That's not what I'm looking for.
Let's see if Bard has an answer. I've been using Bard, testing it out.
Oh, looking at the Bard. That's that AI Hexite. It is Hexite. Did I say Hexite? I think I said Hexite.
Oh, I don't know. Did you?
I think I said that. Oh. I didn't know anything about Hexite, but I was like, oh, somebody get an original idea over here, would you? It's like, what did really well on the original Game Boy? One of those little puzzly, rotatey games. Let's see if we can get something else on there. Oh, Ubisoft.
This is interesting.
Ubisoft produced it.
So I actually like Bard for their results. It's been pretty good. This is Google's Gemini-powered AI large language model.
Yes.
That competes with ChatGPT. Anyway, I asked it, was there a game called Hexagon? And it says, yes, there was a video game called Hexagon. It was an indie rhythm video game developed by Terry Cavanaugh with music composed by Chip Zell. It was originally released for iOS in September of 2012, and versions for Windows, macOS, Android, BlackBerry, and Linux followed in 2013.
Blackberry.
I think that's the game I was thinking of.
Probably.
That's really helpful. You know what didn't give me this information? Freaking
what's that?
Google didn't give me this information. I had to go to Bard to get it.
Bastards. I think for searching stuff, I think AI, and I felt like this in the very beginning. We've talked about a little bit of AI before. I know people have very strong opinions about AI, and that's fine. We should have. It's a new technology. We should have strong opinions. And I think one of the things that does best is more organic search results. I'm definitely against any type of stealing as far as, using something as your own words. But when you're doing research and searching for something, I think it's pretty good at
you
that.
Know what else I use
at least
it for?
It gives me some clues.
I use What's it for, that? I take a jumble of show notes at the end of the show, and I throw them all into just a big pile of text, and I copy and paste that into one of these. GPT works fine, or Bard, whatever.
Yeah.
And I say, make me a nice, clean 500 character or less paragraph surmising what we did. And it does
what we did.
An amazing job of that. It's great.
Right. And you can do that. That's one of the first things I did when I started messing with ChatGPT. I started making my own databases. I'm like, I don't even want to look at the internet stuff. I just want to look at documents that I curated in here. And I started doing this with my FilmSack show notes just to see if I could get it to kind of like write like I do, to kind of see if I could break down any type of formula that I am using that maybe I'm not aware of. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of did that. And I also, when I was doing the show notes today, I actually was like, oh, I'm curious. I was the same way. I was curious about ChatGPT being able to write out a pseudo back of box cover like it would look on Pokemon Gold and Silver. And it did it. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So I guess it can just do that. And I tried to compare that to the actual thing. And I was like, it doesn't look plagiarized, but I mean, there's only so many sources for this. I'm like, cool, I guess. But I guess some copyright people are in trouble. Yeah. Like people who'd write copy. I'm like, geez.
You know what I do? I always argue with it.
Strong opinions. Okay.
I asked Bard just now. I says, are you feeling okay today? Here's what it said.
Personal.
Here's what it said. As a large language model, I don't experience feelings in the same way as a human does. However, I can report that I'm operating within normal parameters and I'm able to respond to your questions and requests. I'm also constantly learning and improving, which makes me feel positive about the future. So while I wouldn't say that I'm feeling okay in the traditional sense, I am functioning well and I'm excited to see what the day brings. So I said, you say you don't have feelings, but later in your response, you talk about being excited and having other positive feelings. Are those not feelings? And it comes back and says, You're right, I misspoke. While I don't experience emotions in the same way humans do, I possess the like these conversations I live for. I love having these arguments.
Don't challenge me.
He says, similarly, when I say things like I'm doing well or I'm happy to help, I'm trying to convey positive sentiments without implying that the experience that I experience these emotions in the same way a human does. Like it eventually gets to the point and does a decent job of explaining itself, but I love how they just are like I had it once where I said, do this in 700 characters or less. And it gave me something that was about 1800 characters.
Oh yeah.
And I said, that wasn't 700. And it said, ah, you're right. Sorry. Here it is. And it was like, almost like it was lazy or it was, I don't know what was going on.
Really I like weird. That you keep poking the AI bear that it continues to get more and more intelligent. This is a large language model. It's not getting more intelligent. But I do like the idea that you're doing that when every day I try to avoid any crazy people at work because, ooh, if they come in with a gun, I want them to remember me as the good one.
That's right. You get a disgruntled employee. Yeah. You never want to be on their list of reasons they're disgruntled.
Right. All the more crazy you act, the nicer I am to you.
There you go. Brian's got the way of it. Anyway, thank you for that message, Chuck. And we'll be looking for, at some point in the future, we'll do like a best games on the Palm Pilot episode.
Yeah. Best trash games on your BlackBerry. Yeah, you know, just there's all kinds of it. It was the best we had.
It's not only the best we have, but it was fun to go to these like janky websites and find weird shit. I loved it. Yeah. I loved that whole period.
It was fun.
Anyway, our next discussion will be all about Alex Kidd in Miracle World. Really, Alex Kidd in general. Like a lot of players, I think especially a lot of young players, they don't know who Alex Kidd is. They have no idea.
Oh, no. He was a kid, but it was many years ago. Now he's Alan Mann.
Yeah, it's Alan Mann.
With two ends.
Alex Kidd became Alan Mann.
With two ends.
Yeah. He's an interesting character and also an interesting Sega time. But importantly, it was for a lot of people, this was like some of the best at the time, some of the best platforming we had seen.
Yes.
And
this was the true. We think of Sonic as being the answer to Mario for Sega, but Alex Kidd was really, I mean, if you really wanted to look at it that way, it really was, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was a dude like Mario. He was you know, had problems in the world kind of like Mario did. It wasn't some crazy anthropomorphized animal thing like we got with Sonic.
And he wasn't trying to run through there or nothing, man. He was just trying to, you know, deal with the world. And I had this coming to play on my original OG hardware, Sega Master System, Alex Kidd in Miracle World. Should be here midweek next week, so perfect I should get a chance to play it.
Yeah, perfect time. I'll be playing it on my Switch emulation software.
Oh, good plan. Yeah, why Switch emulation? I don't know. Or a Sega Master System emulation.
That's what I mean. On my Switch. Not my Switch. What am I saying? My game, my freaking Steam Deck's where
Steam
I'm playing.
Steam Deck. Well, see, now you've invoked the name of the Switch, and it was almost dead. Capacitors were almost discharged, and I heard that, and it got a little excited. And now it's
alive once again, everyone. Alive.
Right.
Once again. That is going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. That'll be next time. By the way, I want to thank some patrons. Tom Noonan, Newton, sorry.
Noonan.
There is a Tom Noonan. He's an actor. He's the guy in RoboCop 2 that makes the what's the nuke? The drug nuke.
Nuke. Yeah. Yes, nuke.
But that is not this Thomas Newton. Dennis and Citranu, I think is how you say the name.
These are just three Citranu. Of our.
We've seen them around. It's just three of our great patrons. And if you want to become like them, sign up today at patreon.com/playretro. Never going to get a commercial. You'll get pre-show content every week. Go there, be there, and do the right thing. No, it's not that there's a right. It's not wrong not to, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I like that Tom Newton was come up in our discussion right after our discussion about little handheld portables. Did you ever have a Newton?
I did have a Newton. I did. I have a Newton somewhere.
Oh.
I should pull that out.
Is it somewhere with your Game Boy Color?
Yeah, probably. I don't know what box it's in, but I know I have one. We're excited to be back with more. So be here next week for more. Between now and then, please go play something retro. And we'll see you next time.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Get into it. Get into it.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
Snap into my Slim Jim.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.